This coming Wednesday, we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna into this world. This is a world of birth and death. It is a world where there is danger at every step. It is a world of continuous, terrible news. And even if there is some good news, we know for certain it will not last very long. So people who are unfortunate, they spend their entire lives trying to make an arrangement to be happy in a place that was specifically designed for suffering. The pleasures of this world create within our heart a strong knot of attachment, only to create terrible pain when it is stripped away from us. We come to this world due to misusing our minute independence, and we remain in this world as long as we continue to misuse our minute independence. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. The soul is beyond birth and death. The soul is by its own constitutional nature full of bliss, because it's part and parcel of the source of all bliss, Krishna. So Krishna descends into this world especially for the purpose of attracting our hearts back to his loving service. And he performs many wonderful pastimes and speaks his divine philosophy to give us an eternal object to ponder upon and remember throughout our life. By remembering Krishna, we become purified. Therefore, the ultimate instruction of the Vedas that encompasses and also includes all other rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So we celebrate days like Janamastami to install the remembrance of Krishna within our hearts. Because factually, whenever we remember Krishna with sincere devotion, he appears within our minds to slay all the demons of material ego, lust, envy, pride, anger, greed, and illusion. That is his mercy. There was a great Brahmin poet who prayed that there are those who, out of fear of material existence, they worship the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, and the Mahabharata. But I don't care for them. As for me, I worship Nanda Maharaj, because in his courtyard, the Supreme Brahman is crawling like an innocent child. This is the great treasure of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is revealing to us the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. And the most esoteric, inconceivable aspects of the divine truth, the cause of all causes, is that he is conquered by the love of his devotees. For the pleasure of his devotees, Krishna puts himself in a position where he appears to be utterly helpless and depending on them. We find this particular transcendental aspect of the Absolute Truth only in the Leela of Vrindavan. And Krishna brought Vrindavan of the spiritual sky to this world to demonstrate his pastimes. So this Brahman is praying that there may be many great philosophers and scholars who are studying many Vedas. Perhaps they're performing many austerities also. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to worship that Nanda Maharaj. Because what is his power? What is his love? That the Supreme Brahman, the controller of everything, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all existences, is crawling as an infant child in his courtyard. When Krishna would crawl in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, he was pretending to be exploring the material world, just like an ordinary child. Many of you do not remember when you were little babies. It's very hard to imagine what this world is when it's brand new to you. You can't really recollect anything of your previous lives. Everything is new. Just like some of our devotees, they're always looking for something new. If that's what you're into, looking for something new, then take birth again. And everything you see will be new. So Krishna was pretending to be crawling around the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, learning about this material world. And he, along with his beloved brother Balaram, they would crawl through the mud of Braja. And when the gopis would see them crawling, they would resemble two beautiful serpents crawling through the mud. They would especially like to crawl through puddles of cow dung and cow urine. And Yashoda and Rohini, the mother of Krishna and Balaram, every day they would decorate their bodies with scented oils and sandalwood paste and musk and saffron. And when their bodies would be mixed with the cow dung, the cow urine, and the mud of Braja, it looked very, very charming. When Krishna and Balaram would be crawling around, their ankle bells would be making sweet jingling sounds, charming everyone's hearts. But sometimes they would go a little distance from their mothers and they would hear the tinkling of some other older gopis' ankle bells. And as little babies, they would mistake those older gopis to be their mother and father. So they would start to crawl, 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 trying to get to them, following the sound of the ankle bells. And the gopi would turn around and with great happiness see these two charming children, one bluish like a monsoon rain cloud, one pure white like a fresh spring cloud, covered with mud. And the gopi would say, oh, there is Krishna Balaram crawling. And when they would hear the voice and see the gopi, they would understand, this is not my mother. So immediately, being fearful, they would crawl back to Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini. Sometimes the older gopis and gopas, they would test Krishna to see how he was learning. They would say, Gopal, point to your face. And he, with his beautiful lotus hand, would point to his face. Point to your ear. And he would point to his ear. Point to your nose. He would point to his nose. Now, this doesn't sound very exciting to many of you. But to the gopis, this was 100 billion times more exciting than the best American Academy Award-winning motion picture. It was charming their hearts. Little Krishna saying, this is my ear, this is my nose. Point to your arm. This is my arm. Point to your teeth. Krishna would say, but my teeth haven't grown yet. They would ask, who is your mother, Krishna? Who is your father? And with his very delicate baby-like hands, he would point to Yashoda and say, Mata, and point to father. This is my father. And all the gopis would be thrilled in ecstatic bliss. The ultimate joys in life are so simple. We have our whole computer technologies and all of our very, very technologically advanced devices that we're trying to use to find happiness. But in Vrindavan, this is where the ultimate ecstasy comes. By Krishna pointing to his mother, saying, this is mother, this is father. One time, Krishna was crawling, and he came into a room full of jewels, and he saw a reflection on the jewel, and he was thinking that someone's watching me. So he became very fearful, and with his hand, he started trying to erase that image on the jewel. But the image just kept getting brighter and brighter. So being afraid, he crawled to his mother for protection. And when Mother Yashoda saw this, she was filled with happiness. When Krishna was trying to learn to walk, he would try very hard. And somehow he would get up a little, then he would fall down. And he would start to cry. Then he'd try again and fall down and start to cry. Here is the Supreme Lord, who is the ability in man. He's the power that is the source of everything. And just to please his mother, he's actually playing the role of such a child that he's struggling, struggling, struggling to get up, but he cannot walk. Think about it. What an inconceivable pastime. We are all infinitesimal, insignificant little jivatmas, and we're just walking around. How many of you even take note of the fact that you're walking when you're walking? We're so familiar with this walking, we don't even think. When was the last time you walked and you thought, oh, I know how to walk? But here is the Supreme Brahman. He can't walk. He's trying, but he can't. So Yashoda Mai took her finger And Krishna grabbed onto that finger, very much took shelter of her finger. And she lifted him up, and she started walking along with Krishna. And he actually began to walk due to not letting go of the finger of his mother. But as soon as she took away the finger, Krishna fell down. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Sometimes Yashoda Mai would dress Krishna in very, very fine clothes. But being a little baby cowherd boy, he didn't like these fine clothes. He would take them off in anger and throw them away. Another time, Yashoda Mai, she was dressed in beautiful jewels. And Krishna crawled up to her and started snatching those jewels from her and trying to place them on his own body. But for the pleasure of the gopis, he placed each jewel in the wrong place. One gopi, older gopi, she said to Gopal that, if you dance for me, I will give you very fresh, sweet butter to eat. So Krishna, who couldn't walk with his legs yet, he started moving his arms and dancing very, very sweetly. All the gopis began to laugh with great pleasure. Krishna becomes a dancing doll, like a dancing puppet, under the control of the love of his devotees. One time, Krishna started crying. Gopi said, "Please stop crying. We will give you butter, we will give you yogurt, we will give you milk, whatever you like, but stop crying. What do you want?" And he pointed to the moon, the full moon in the sky. He said, "I want that very, very concentrated condensed milk." Yashoda Mai said, "That is not condensed milk. That is the moon." "What is the moon?" She said, "It is Rajahamsa. It's like a big swan that's crossing the sky every evening." He said, "Well, I want to play with that swan." Yashoda Mai said, "No, actually, it's not a swan. It is Chandra." "Well, who is Chandra, Mata?" "Chandra means the moon. Where does the moon come from?" She said, "It came out of the ocean of milk." He said, "Oh, there's an ocean of milk?" "Yes. How many cows did it take to fill the ocean of milk?" She said, no, it wasn't. The ocean of milk is not from cows. It was made by Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord." And one time, the demons and the demigods, they churned this ocean of milk. "Oh, and then what happened?" "And what happened is, from the churning of the ocean of milk, with the Mandara mountain and Vasuki the serpent being used as the churning rod, poison came out. I thought only snakes have poison." She said, no, this is very... "Actually, this poison came out and it was about to destroy all of creation when Lord Shiva, out of his compassion, he drank the poison. But a few drops spilled out and the serpents, they drank that. And that's where they got their poison. But something else happened. That moon, that big piece of condensed milk that you like, some of the poison speckled on the milk. You see those spot marks? Those are poison. So if you take it, you will not be in good health. So I will not give you the moon." "Oh, thank you, Mother, for protecting me in this world." Yashoda Mai was always in anxiety along with Rohini Devi, because they were always fearful of the welfare of their children. They were crawling around Vrindavan And they were fearful that the horned cows and bulls may harm them. There was also so many fires that the Brijabasis would cook, and there's also little forest fires going on. They may crawl into the fire. And there were animals, some animals with claws and teeth like monkeys might bite them, and there's dogs and cats and thorns on the ground and various stones that may cut their very, very delicate, gentle bodies. Yashoda Mai and Rohini Mai, when they were performing their household duties, they were always in fear and anxiety for the protection of Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that what they were actually experiencing was the divine spiritual ecstasy of distress. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, in the spiritual world, which is called Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha means where everything is eternal. And because everything is eternal, there's no anxieties. This material world is called Kunta, the place of anxieties. But yet, in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest planet of all the Vaikunthas, there's crying and there's anxiety. But that anxiety is for Krishna. And therefore that anxiety only increases the intensity of our service attitude of love toward Krishna. Therefore it brings about ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada liked to see his devotees in anxiety. Not material anxiety, but spiritual anxiety. We're in material anxiety due to hankering for what we don't have and lamenting for what we may lose or what we have lost. And this whole world is full of hankering and lamenting. So many expectations that we just can't meet or others cannot meet. Practically throughout our life, it's just one anxiety over another. But in Krishna consciousness, we dovetail this propensity in an eternal spiritual form. We're anxiety to serve Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where, since time immemorial, people have gone to perform bhajan. So Prabhupada wanted to build a temple of Sri Krishna Balaramji in Vrindavan. And one sannyasi, he was helping to oversee the construction. And you know how construction people are here in India. At every moment, these people were trying to somehow or other cheat us for some rupees. So he was always in anxiety. And he wrote to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I'm in so much anxiety day and night trying to build this temple. I think maybe I should just go under a tree on the bank of the Jamuna and just chant and read the scriptures and be happy." Prabhupada told him, "Work now, samadhi later." He said, "Your ecstasy is in your anxiety. Because that's what best serves Krishna." A real devotee doesn't want to enjoy spiritual life. He wants to be enjoyed by Krishna. If Krishna is more pleased by our accepting anxieties in his service, then we should be willing to accept unlimited anxieties. But if we give up those anxieties for our own happiness, the most you can get is some temporary material so-called peace, which will soon be disturbed by Krishna's own divine potencies called Maya. Hare Krishna. So to be in anxiety over the condition of the conditioned souls who are forgetful of Krishna, that anxiety is based on love. And even in the spiritual world, when Krishna, when the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, they are weeping and crying. Actually, when Uddhava was sent from Mathura to Vrindavan to send message to gopis, he saw the condition of the Braja gopis. And he was thinking that I am considered to be the best friend of Krishna. In Mathura, I'm with him all day, every day. He confides in me. We eat together. We sleep together sometimes. We joke together. We bathe together. We walk together. And gopis, they're weeping and crying in separation from Krishna. But what is their love? In their anxiety, they have such intense absorption in Krishna that Krishna sent here, sent me to this place just to show me what love actually is. He was so humbled by that experience that he actually prayed that he could take his birth as a piece of grass on the ground of Brajbhumi, so that the gopis would place their lotus feet on the top of his head. Because Uddhava, being a prince of the Yadu dynasty, if he were to take the dust from gopis' feet on his head, they would be very embarrassed. They were just simple cowherd girls. So we find in the spiritual realm great, great anxiety for Krishna. Anxiety to please Krishna. And that is ecstasy. And we can attain that position by purifying ourselves through accepting anxieties in the service of the Lord in this world. And thus absorbing our consciousness in selflessly fulfilling the desire of Krishna. Little by little, Krishna began to walk on his legs. Then Krishna and Balaram, they became, actually even before that, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that once when Krishna and Balaram were crawling through the mud of Braja, their mothers picked them up. And their affection was so great that milk started flowing from their breasts. And they would feed the milk of their breast to Krishna and Balaram. As Rohini Devi would be feeding Balaram, and Yashoda Mai would be feeding Krishna, they were thinking, "This is my son." And Krishna and Balaram were thinking, "This is my mother." And sometimes Krishna would smile. And when he would smile, Mother Yashoda would see little, little, beautiful pearl-like teeth just coming out of his mouth. And with great motherly happiness, with her fingers, she would count how many teeth were coming out in Krishna's mouth. So little by little, he began to walk on his legs. Then they began their pastimes of stealing butter. People wonder if the codes of religion teach morality. In the West, the Almighty God made his Ten Commandments. And one of the commandments is, "Thou shalt not steal." Hare Krishna. So why is the supreme source of all almighty gods stealing butter? Not only sometimes, but all the time. Actually, Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram, that he is the proprietor of all the planets, all the demigods, everything that exists. And everything is meant for his enjoyment. So Krishna is not stealing. Everything belongs to him. He's simply reclaiming what is his. But by performing this lila as an ordinary child, he's giving the ultimate happiness to those who he steals from. That's the difference between Krishna and us. If you steal from someone, do you put them in ecstasy? Do they increase their love for you by thousands of fold every time you steal from them? If you steal from someone in this world, they'll be very angry on you. They'll call the police, perhaps. They'll press charges and take you to court. Hare Krishna. That's the stealing of you and me. But when Krishna steals from butter, yogurt, milk from gopis, they are most happy. In fact, our acharyas tell us the only reason why they churn their milk and cream into butter is simply with the hope that Krishna will come to steal it. One time, Krishna was stealing some butter in the house of his mother Yashoda. And she happened to be watching, but he didn't know that she was watching. At least, he appeared to not know that she was watching. So there happened to be a jeweled pillar, and he saw the reflection of himself on that jeweled pillar. And he thought, somebody's watching me. He said to his own reflection, my dear brother, please don't tell on me. Actually, if you don't tell on me for what I'm doing, I will share the butter with you. We will eat it together and enjoy. And then Mother Yashoda could not resist coming in. And Krishna, when he saw Yashoda, he had already stolen so much butter. He said, actually, I didn't do it. And he pointed to the reflection in the jewel. He said, he did it. And I saw him stealing the butter, Mataji. I said, this is not right. You cannot steal my mother's butter. But he just stole it anyway. But I was so angry, I scolded and chastised him, Mother, honestly. Another time, Mother Yashoda came into the room and she saw Krishna's hand in a pot of butter. And Gopal said, Mataji, I burned my hand. And to relieve the pain, I'm soaking it in this butter. I think I burned it because of this very, very bright, shimmering bracelet you put on my wrist. So Mother Yashoda took out his hand, which was full of butter, and she looked at it with great love and affection. And she said, oh, it is true, you did burn your hand. I will take off your neck, your bracelet. And she kissed his hand with great motherly affection to encourage him. The ladies of Vrindavan, they took ultimate happiness in seeing the pastimes of Krishna. And just to further increase their pleasure, they would sometimes come to Yashoda Mai to report to her what Krishna was doing every day. Because devotees, it is their life and soul to speak about topics of Krishna. Machchita Madgata Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Katyantaschamam Nityam Tushanti Charamanticha. That my pure devotees, their lives are completely surrendered unto me. They derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. So the gopis, just to further taste the nectar of Harikatha, they would say to Yashoda Mai that, do you know what your son does every single day? He's so naughty that he goes to our Goshala with Balaram and his friends and release the calves. Then the calves go and drink all the milk from the cows. And when our husbands, the gopas, go to milk the cows, there's not a drop of milk left in any of the cows. And when they see, and when we see Krishna, who has done it, we catch him. And what does he do? He smiles. And when he smiles, he brings us so much bliss that all we could do is smile and embrace him. Other times, he comes in our house and he steals our butter, yogurt, and milk. And he and Balaram and Gopas, they eat it. They eat and eat and eat as much as they can. Then they call the monkeys. And they feed the monkeys so much until the bellies of the monkeys are so full they cannot eat another drop of butter. Then Krishna breaks the pots and throws it on the floor and says, your butter is so useless, even the monkeys will not eat it. But that's not all they do. If they see that our little babies are sleeping, they will pinch them and make them cry, then they will run away. Sometimes we put our butter hanging from ropes from the rafters of the ceiling. Prabhupada explains that traditionally this was the custom. In case of some emergency, you always have a stock of milk products, so you keep it hanging from your ceiling. But how would Krishna get up to that pot of butter on the ceiling? The gopis explained to Yashoda Mai that they would get tables and they would get grinding mortars and they would just pile everything up to make like a ladder. Then they would crawl up as high as they could. And if still they couldn't reach it, they would take a stick and they would poke, poke, poke holes into the pot until all the butter would fall down and they would catch it and eat it with great happiness. Sometimes, when it's very dark and there's no light, these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, come into that room. And due to the effulgent jewels that you decorate their beautiful bodies with, the whole room lights up so they can find the butter very easily and steal it and eat it. Yashoda Mai said, oh, if that is the case, then I will take off their jewels. No, 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 please do not take off their jewels. No need. Because actually these boys, they have such an effulgence in their bodies, they could light up everything even without their jewels. But let me tell you something else they do. When they're doing this pastime of stealing our butter, sometimes the gopas catch them and say, you are a thief. And Krishna would say with great anger, he said, no, you are a thief. Hare Krishna. Sometimes if they cannot find our butter and yogurt, because we hide it so nicely, they go to a very neat and clean part of our house and pass urine and stool. And now they are sitting there. Look at him. He's sitting just like a good boy who's so well behaved. And as the gopis were speaking in this way, Yashodamaya looked at Krishna and his eyes were moving about in great fear. Seeing the beauty of her son, Mother Yashoda would simply smile and embrace him and give him the milk from her breast. One day, Krishna and Balaram and their friends were playing. At the end of the day, they came home, and Balaram and his friends declared to Yashoda Mayi that today Gopal was sitting in a solitary place eating dirt. Yashoda Mayi was very much concerned. What will happen to his health if he's eating dirt? Krishna, our house is full of so many sweetmeats. We're providing all the best of everything for you. Why are you eating dirt? Krishna said, No, my Mataji, I have not eaten dirt. They are liars. They have become angry upon us in our games, and now they are speaking these lies against me. I never ate dirt. And if you don't believe me, then you look in my mouth and you see if there is dirt. Yashoda Mayi, she said, oh, open your mouth, let me see what is inside. So he opened his little mouth, that beautiful lotus mouth of child Gopal, she cast her glance into. And what did she see? She saw the entire universal creation. She saw all the planets, the demigods. She saw all living entities, moving and unmoving. She saw mountains and oceans. She saw the entire aggregate of gross and subtle elements and how they were being activated by the three modes of material nature and the time factor. Within this universal creation that she saw in the small mouth of her child, she also saw the whole of Vrindavan and even herself looking in the mouth of Krishna. Upon seeing this, she became very philosophical. She was wondering, is this a dream? Is this a reality? What am I seeing? This is the mouth of my child. This is not an ordinary child. I have been thinking that he's my child. This is my illusion. With folded palms, she began to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That under gross illusion, I'm thinking that this is my child. And I'm thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband. And because he's my husband and he's the king of Braja, I'm thinking that all the wealth and all the possessions that we have are mine. But actually nothing is mine. She entered into a state of philosophical realization and total detachment. Very elevated state. But Krishna did not like this. So, through the beauty of his charming smile, he completely covered everything that Yashoda Mai had just seen. She forgot about it all in an instant. Just like when you have a dream and you wake up, you just forget that dream. And all she saw was the little child Krishna sitting before her, and her motherly affection grew so much that her breast became full, dripping with milk, and she kissed child Krishna and fed him the milk from her breast. So this is Vrindavan, where the almighty power of the absolute truth is forgotten due to the intensity and simplicity of pure unconditional love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world in the age of Kali Yuga this message that the highest abode is Vrindavan, the highest form of the absolute truth is Brajendra Nandana Krishna, and the most sublime method of achieving that truth is through the process of bhakti or devotional service. And of the 9 processes of devotional service, one stands as most resplendent in this age of Kali, and that is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The holy name of Krishna is Krishna. We were speaking yesterday about a beautiful statement that Prabhupada made to one of his disciples. One of his sannyasi disciples, I believe, was giving a class on Prabhupada's order. And Prabhupada was sitting there listening to his class. O great pandits of Radha Gopinath Temple, how would you like to give a class in the presence of Srila Prabhupada? Hare Krishna. You would probably be in great anxiety. Why? Because if you say one thing that is even slightly departing from perfect Siddhanta, he will be there to say, So this devotee said that Krishna is in the deity. Prabhupada said, Which part of the deity is Krishna in? Now, if anybody else asked that question, I'm sure he would give so many answers. He's given every part of the deity. But when Prabhupada asked it, the person became blank and silent. Then Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is not in the deity. Krishna is the deity. Hare Krishna. So similarly, it is not that Krishna is in his name. Krishna is his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. All the potencies and powers of Krishna are contained within his name. Therefore, the ultimate benediction in all creation is the name of Krishna. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All victory to the crest jewel of all benedictions upon all humanity, which is the congregational chanting of Lord Krishna's Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And especially the loud chanting of the holy name in kirtan not only delivers oneself, but spreads the mercy of Krishna throughout the entire universal creation. Yes, simply by learning how to offenselessly and sincerely chant the holy name of Krishna, all the sins of our heart are cleansed. And all the reactions of all our past sins, which take the form of desires and attachments, are cleansed from our heart. We should know that all of our material desires are reactions to our past sins. And from the transcendental perspective, even pious activity is criminal.
Hare Krishna.
Anything that is not done in devotional service to the Lord is criminal.
Yagyartat
kamanan yatra lokomam karma bandana. Krishna says in Gita that any work you perform that is not done as sacrifice for Vishnu will simply be the cause of your bondage. How many desires, how many attachments do we have stored within our consciousness? It's unlimited, countless. But yet, by even once chanting Krishna's name, without offense, all of those sins and all of the reactions of all of our material desires are cleansed. That is the power of the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, there is no more auspicious activity in all of creation than the chanting of this Sankirtan movement. Through offenseless chanting, we gradually come to the stage of chanting with pure devotion. And when we chant purely, entering through the stages of ashakti, bhava, gradually Krishna reveals his form, his abode, and his pastimes, the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world, will be enacted within our hearts when we purely chant the holy names of Krishna. This is the great, great gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those faithful servants who have given their lives to propagating his mercy throughout the world. So on Wednesday we will be celebrating Janamashtami. It will begin with Mangal Arati, and then there will be Srimad Bhagavatam class at around 8 o'clock, and there will be Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan throughout the day, and about 10 o'clock at night or something, there will be Abhishekam. And at midnight, there will be the Janmashtami Aarti of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We should not come just for some ritualistic religious piety. We should be coming, offering our hearts, our love, and our lives to Sri Radha and Gopinath. There's a custom throughout the world where you give someone gift on their birthday. Yes? You do that in India also? When I was a little boy, we lived in a simple house in a simple neighborhood. But my mother was very famous because she would organize the best birthday parties for their little children. And everyone would play and do all sorts. She would make all nice arrangements. And then everyone would give gifts. And we'd be so happy to get gifts. Hare Krishna. But in the Vedic culture, it's the opposite. When it was Krishna's birthday, Yashoda Mai told Rohini Devi that please call Krishna and Balaram, they're playing. And Rohini Mai would go and say, Krishna Balaramji, come. Yashoda's calling, lunch is ready, Nanda Maharaj is waiting for you. But they were so absorbed in their playing that they ignored her. So Mother Yashoda herself had to come and say, what do you think you are, street boys? You're all dirty. Look, your friends are so nice and clean. You must be so hungry. You haven't eaten for so many hours. Come home. Nanda Maharaj is waiting for you. He will not take until you take. Come home. And she would bring them home. And besides, today is your birthday, Krishna. So she decorated him very nicely. And for him, to give him blessings, Yashoda Mai would have Krishna giving in charity to the Brahmins. Giving cows, giving cloth, giving grains. Because the best gift that you can receive is the blessing of great souls. And the way you receive the blessing of great souls is not by taking from them, but by serving them. Krishna is Jagat Guru. He is the ultimate Guru. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Saravakarana Karanam. So the origin of all birthdays is Krishna's appearance in this world. And we should come to give him gift. And what gift does he want from us? He wants the gift of our surrender, the gift of our hearts, the gift of our love. He does not need any material objects from you. But he wants our devotion. So the actual traditional method of celebrating Janmashtami is to come before Sri Radha Gopinath and surrender our hearts to them. Our Guru Maharaj used to say, if one time you can sincerely say to Krishna, from this day on I am yours, you will be liberated from all suffering forever. It is not so easy to say that sincerely and mean it. But we should pray. We should pray that by the satsang of sadhus, by performing our nam bhajan, our chanting of the holy names, by hearing Harikatha, by doing humble menial services for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees, that someday, that day will be mine when I can say to Krishna honestly that I am yours.